You know who the National League Player of the Week is?
No. Shohei Ohtani?
He's not. His teammate is, though.
Freddie Freeman?
Nope.
Mookie Betts?
Nope.
Tyler Glasnow?
No.
Who?
Teoscar Hernandez.
Oh, yeah, yeah, actually, yeah. He had a slam against the Yankees.
He sure did, buddy. He sure did. How many home runs does Teoscar Hernandez have this season?
12?
Plus five. Plus five.
That's Juan Soto territory.
Yeah, yeah.
Because, Judge has 22, I want to say.
He's got 17 bombs. How many home runs do you think Vladdy, Bo, and Springer have combined?
Well, Vlad has now
seven. Interesting that if you get these right. Yeah, he does. Correct. One for one.
Okay, Bo, four?
Correct.
Okay.
Oh, you're heat-seeking missile, brother. You're on top of it today. You're on top of it. Look at old Benny Boy. He's on top of it.
Oh,
Bo has four. Bo has four. How many does George Springer have? That's the...
I think he also has four.
He has five. Oh, you're so close. Oh, but you didn't go over.
No.
You stayed under. You could still win.
It's almost like I've watched every painful Blue Jays game this season.
Yeah. Do you remember when we did that? There was that, what was it, 2018, 2017? One of those two seasons you and I kept doing would you rathers in terms of like, would you rather rewatch this entire Blue Jays season eat a bowl full of spiders every morning? Eat a bowl full of cobwebs?
I mean, yeah. Oh my God, cobwebs. Yeah. No, yeah. Because spiders...
No, spiders you couldn't do every day.
Well, it depends. Like, are they being prepared by a chef? Like, are they deep fried? No, I could...
No.
Especially if you deep fry a spider, like, in a big ball of batter. You're telling me you couldn't have one daddy long legs spider just baked into the batter?
I would actually rather have
like a falafel. Like it's
you get
a falafel. In a there's a spider
I know,
in there.
But I know.
Yeah, there's a spider in there.
I'm not even kidding. I would rather eat the daddy long legs raw.
No.
Yeah, just quick like gone rather than having the whole falafel.
You could eat a falafel
dude,
quickly.
Dude, I know.
Too.
No.
Daddy long legs, you don't feel the squish because they are so thin. Like, even the body is so small.
I don't even, like, think it's... I'm actually uncomfortable. You're ruining the show. I'm telling you, I'd rather eat the daddy long legs raw than
eat
the falafel.
Dog and daddy long legs.
Yeah, to know, like, you'd never know which bite is the spider bite.
Oh, my.
And it's just there longer? No, give me the quick death.
No, but it's... Yeah. Okay, you know which bite?
I understand
bite?
The premise.
You put the
premise.
Whole falafel in your mouth.
I understand the premise. I'm telling you my position.
No, and there's nothing more disgusting than feeling its little legs.
No,
like,
there is.
That's disgusting.
It's not about what's disgusting. It's about mentally, this is the challenge. And for me, mentally, I can't get through the spider falafel.
Yeah. Mentally.
Seeing the spider falafel sit there and they're like, here it is. I know.
Yeah, mentally.
Seeing one spider in a bowl, done.
I delude myself every day so often that I could, like, deluding myself that there's no spider
actually,
in the falafel.
That's true.
Like, I am so good at
deluding myself. You delude yourself that you're good at this job every day.
Yeah, every day I'm like, I can do it.
Yeah.
The other end of this is positive experience.
Yeah, block out the hate. No, it's true. Okay, so Teoscar Hernandez, 17 home runs. Vladdy, Bo, Springer, 16. So that's good. That's just a little...
lineup protection, though.
Listen, I was told by every smart baseball person that lineup protection doesn't matter, but sure.
Yeah, it doesn't when it doesn't help your argument, but if you're
Ross Atkins, you gotta be like lineup protection.
Reason.
They're like, well, didn't you responsible for making lineup protection? He's like, argh. Yeah.
No, you're like, hey, making the playoffs, that's all it's about, chipping a chair, even though, you know, like,
dude,
everybody stinks except for a couple of teams.
Wasn't yesterday funny, though, in terms of watching what it looks like for another team to be last year's Blue Jays that just couldn't hit with runners in scoring position? Did that dawn on you at any point during the game?
Yeah, I mean, lots of teams have been there before.
Yeah, but I think they were, what were they last night with
they
runners in scoring position?
They were 0 for 9 at one point. They finished 0 for 12.
0 for 12 with runners in scoring position gave me PTSD from last season. I went, oh, this reminds me so much of last year.
So you're saying, like, what's better? Like, having opportunities to score and not scoring, or just not having
not
any opportunities
at all. Yeah.
Like game one of the series, the Blue Jays were 0 for 1 with runners in scoring position. That one at bat came in the ninth inning.
Yeah, I would argue that this season, if you removed the season prior, like if you just took away the more successful year where they couldn't hit with runners in scoring position versus
this year? They bounced back in the second half last year, too. Like, the numbers did normalize.
I'm just saying, I would take what is happening this year in a vacuum.
Oh, my God.
Over last year in a vacuum.
No.
I would. That's my opinion.
Honestly,
we're doing a lot of would you rather stages, just so you know.
Yeah. Really?
Yeah, because, well, kind of. It wasn't framed this way, but now that I was thinking about the spider bowl, I'm like, this
spider
is the
waffle,
way.
Spider falafel?
Yeah, spider falafel.
Falafa's spider.
No, don't. See, remember when you deluded yourself? Yes.
Nothing is, in my opinion, worse than watching this offense. Like, frankly.
Last year you think was better?
Yep.
More enjoyable?
Yep.
My point of the thing about
this
offense.
I didn't
know
this was coming. Like, if I knew this was coming, I would have enjoyed last season a lot more. I would have said, it could be worse, right? Like, I never had that thought. I was like, oh, this is as bad as it's going to get.
Yeah.
Like, do you see those four games against the Rangers in September?
Yeah.
It's not going to get worse than that. Like, I didn't realize this season was coming.
Yeah.
If I had, I would have had a different opinion about last season.
It's just
not so bad. It was not so bad, honestly. Can't hit with runners in scoring position, but opportunities every day, and then you can, like, fool yourself into thinking, no, man,
you didn't
sound like an idiot last year if you came to the microphone and were like, you know what, it hasn't gone well. Obviously, this sucks, and this is not the way you would want it to play out, but they are just a couple of hot hitters away from being a very respectable offense. This year, you sound like an idiot. If you say anything, like, there are no defenders of this team. There's no corporate shill that will step to a microphone, because you sound like an idiot if you step to a microphone and is like, yeah, man, there's a lot of reason to believe this offense is going to be good. There is none.
There is one guy that does it regularly, but yeah, go on.
No, there is. The only argument you can make is like, yeah, Bo can't be this bad all season long. I mean, I think this is Vlad.
Uh-huh.
George Springer is George Springer. Okay, maybe he's going to be a little bit better. He was league average offensive late this year. He's been below, so, like, I guess there's some positive regression there. But there is no tangible reason to believe that, as currently constructed, this Blue Jays offense will be any better than what we've seen this season. Last year, you could make that argument. You're like, well, no, there's better players.
Mm-hmm.
Like, boy, Matt Chapman's really going through it. We saw him be amazing in April, if he could ever recapture that, or the runners in scoring position thing, bad sequencing, yada, yada, yada. There's no reason. There's literally no reason this year to believe that there's going to be some average offense around the corner.
So my argument, though, for why I would rather watch this season than last is, last season, you're right, you could sell yourself on the idea that it was going to normalize, and yet it didn't. It did feel off. Sometimes you're right to trust your gut, right? Your gut is not always correct. You know, in fact, it's probably more likely wrong more often than it is right.
Especially in that sport.
Yeah, and you and I talk about this all the time, that it's the sport that does make you look like an idiot over and over and over again, right? It's just, oh, right, okay, this thing does normalize, and all of a sudden all your takes for months are gone, right? The greatest example of that was Bo Bichette in 2022.
Mm-hmm.
It's
22.
It's two, yeah, where he has the horrible season. He OPS is like sub, 680 all year long, and then has a OPS of like 1,100 the final month and a half of the season, and he just hits
almost 60 hits in September.
Yeah, led
in
Major League Baseball. So again, it's the sport that does make you look like a big dumb idiot for ever having any opinions or takes, especially when you're doing them usually off of like one-off games.
Mm-hmm.
But last year was just ugly. And there were very few moments of real, true blue optimism, I would say. And the down the stretch part was kind of the worst, where it is kind of the hope that kills you. This season, I would argue, is a little bit better from the
no hope perspective.
Yeah. Is that I don't have to be told by people constantly going, you know, they're actually going to normalize. Me saying, okay, well, I would like them to do it. You know, I go to a lot of games. You know, I spend a lot of money. I invest a lot in this team. I watch them every single day. You know, okay, waiting for them to normalize. And then they get to the playoffs, and they're like, hey, Barrios, get out. And I'm like, what? Mm-hmm. Hey, we're going to make more outs on the base pass. By the way, did you almost fire Spencer Horwitz into the sun when he had that base running mistake from the other day?
Honestly,
I'm like, whoa, you can't have this the second you come up.
I've never been more pleased to see the Blue Jays make the third out without like a two-out single
saved them from that.
So that you couldn't live in the reality where that cost them a run.
Either way, just the idea of all the things coming back to bite them in the ass last year, and how painful like the slog was to have zero reward, to only be tortured the most at the end, versus this year where I'm with you. I just can't imagine, because even when they win like yesterday, mm-hmm. how could you come out of that game and be thinking
fixed?
Hell yeah.
No.
You know?
No, they can make the playoffs. Like they're the realm of possibility. They can make, they're two games back right now. They're in third place in the American League East. Everybody stinks. Like mm-hmm. it's sure. If your goal is to make the playoffs, then yeah, you shouldn't sell off your pending free agents. And there's a...
Yesterday was, by the way, a great display for the pending free agents.
Yeah, sure.
Kikuchi, awesome again, working himself out of jams. Yeah, it was tough.
Like Jimmy Garcia, unreal.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Those two guys were nuts.
Yeah. Justin Turner with another base hit as well. Yeah, he's kind of coming around a little bit recently.
I mean, he was literally Daniel the worst Vogelbach player in baseball. So.
Didn't hurt the Blue Jays because he didn't play.
Here's Daniel Vogelbach's trade value. Trading to the waiver wire. for future terms, a.k.a. any other player to replace.
Yeah. No, they can make the playoffs, and boy, I guess...
Where is Joey Votto?
Buddy, this is it. I said this yesterday. You're derailing me, but I said this yesterday. It's like, this is the Joey Votto. That's Joey Votto's music. In he comes.
Yeah.
And, right, he probably doesn't perform because he's 40-year-old Joey Votto.
I don't even mean that. I just mean, like, where is he actually? Yeah,
like, in Dunedin, like... Enjoying the fruits of the Blue Jays renovations.
Yeah, so he's just down there all the time?
He lives there.
Yeah?
Doesn't play in games.
So he's basically Ichiro. Remember when Ichiro went and just rented out that stadium?
Yeah.
In Japan?
And no, he gets to use the Blue Jays facility.
Yeah, but that's it. He doesn't even have to rent out the whatever dome that
was. He's getting paid.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Not like a huge amount.
This is actually kind of Ichiro's dream.
He's on a minor league deal. I would love to know what the amount he's getting paid for, but like... Yeah, he initiated contact with the Blue Jays, and I'm sure they're happy. And like,
what a wild win by him!
Yeah, he's like, hey, just give me some money. I get to play baseball, sort of, kind of. Be like, I get to like go to the cage.
Yeah, remember that guy who got busted for? I think it was actually there was a couple people, but the guy, the security guard that Masai quote unquote assaulted. Mm-hmm. Remember, he tried to be like, I can't work again. I'm immovable. And then they caught him, like, carrying heavy boxes. Like, they just trailed him for a little while, and they went, look at all this guy frauding.
Of course.
Joey Votto should actually be the face of guys like that who are workers' comp frauds. Whoever they go, like, he's like, I stepped on a bat at the last day of spring, and they're going to pay me for the entire season. It's a really good job by him.
Has it been long enough that you forgot my conspiracy theory that was...
No, that's what I'm saying, that I'm with you now. Like, at this point, like, the fact that there's been no update, I get it being 40.
Insane. Yeah. Initial messaging was he's going to miss a day.
Yeah. All right. We're all over the map. miss a day to literally
gone
has
forever.
He's the caretaker of Dunedin. You see this actually. Mm-hmm. This is an interest in like some semi, I shouldn't say semi pro, but pro sports that don't pay as much money.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Like not the ones where you can make a full livelihood. Sometimes the owners hire the employees or like some of the players to do stuff with the stadium
secondary
as well. Yeah.
Salary.
Well, they'll be like, hey, you're this player on the team, but then you're also the manager of the, you make sure that if the guys need to come change the light bulbs, you're taking care of the training facility. Mm-hmm. That's basically Joey Votto.
Yeah.
He's the groundskeeper.
Yeah. Except he's made like $500 million in his career. But yeah, no, it's not.
He's what's the character's name in The Shining? I never know, like, Jack Nicholson's actual character.
I forget.
Either way, that's him.
Yeah.
He's just at the resort.
Yep.
Like, by himself.
Hopefully it ends up better for him than it did for Jack Nicholson, but yeah.
Yeah, definitely. Hard to freeze to death in the snow.
Yeah.
Spoiler alert. Anyways, back to the show.
I can try and retrace the steps to what I was talking about before you totally
would you rather, because I'm about to pivot into the other would you rather.
I was going to say was like, yeah, this team can make the playoffs and probably will make the playoffs, I guess. It's insane if they don't shop those or sell off those pending free agents. And it's insane that, Ross Atkins, at the conclusion of this thing, is going to present himself as, hey, made the playoffs. What do you want from me? Like, this is a team. We're not that far removed from meaningful September baseball. You're telling me beggars are going to be choosers? We made the playoffs. How do you like that?
Yeah.
I think they are going to make the playoffs.
Oh, that's
everybody stinks.
Yeah, I know.
And the Blue Jays maybe are the stinkiest amongst them.
No, I think the Rays are stinkier than the Jays.
Yes, I agree, because of the big fly factor.
Yeah, yeah, big fly factor is huge.
And I think the Red Sox have gotten some incredible starting pitching. Like that was supposed to be their big undoing.
I think Red Sox and Jays is just two sides of the same coin, where it's like these two teams are no different. They could both be, they could play each other 100 times, and I think it would be 50-50, essentially.
Yep. Everybody else just kind of stinks. I mean,
I think that here's what I think.
Rangers
doesn't
and
stink.
Astros are outside. They're behind the Blue Jays in the American League wild card chase.
But here's who I don't think stinks. Mm. Yankees, Orioles, obviously. Guardians, Royals. And I don't think the Twins stink. And I don't think the Mariners stink. Mariners had an awesome comeback the other night. Like, again, it was against a crappy team. I don't remember.
Yeah, but they're in the division lead now. So it doesn't matter.
Yeah, so it doesn't matter. But yeah, the rest that... You don't think that one of the Rangers or Astros is going to get hot, though, at some point?
Yeah, no, listen, both of them, so the Rangers have the worst run differential of the two. They're even. Mm-hmm. The Astros are +7, despite being six games under .500. But they have their own pending free agent, like, sell-off question marks, too. Yeah. Like, and theirs are more pressing. Like, Alex Bregman has real value. Kyle Tucker, like, if they go down the one more year, Kyle Tucker, like, if they're not going to give him the insane contract that he deserves...
Yeah.
Like, that's a real piece that somebody could use. And, yeah, that's obviously going to make them way worse in the second half. I mean, the Rangers, we've seen proof of concept of them being much, much better. Yeah, yeah. The Yankees and the Orioles are the cream of the absolute crop in the American League, and the Dodgers obviously in the National League, and just everybody else. So, yeah, chip in a chair, playoffs, it used to mean something. It doesn't in baseball anymore, even after I'm done using the 84-win Diamondbacks team as the go-to example for a crappy team that made the playoffs. The Blue Jays made the playoffs with 89 wins last year, being that crappy team. So, like, everybody makes the playoffs. Blue Jays are now the go-to example.
Yeah, the Jays are the... They should be.
They have five more wins, but, like, who looked at that Blue Jays team? You're like, there's a World Series contender.
Not only that, like, the Diamondbacks did factually go to the World Series.
No, it's like the Blue Jays who, they won 89 games, scored a run, lost two games against the Twins.
No, but I'm saying... You got to add up all the wins from the entire year.
Yeah.
So if you add up all the wins from the entire year, the Diamondbacks end up with more than the Jays because the Jays won 0.
Okay. That's like how Zach Hyman's adding all his goals in the playoffs up to surpass Austin Matthews.
I cannot imagine being the person who cares about that even in the smallest bit. I would say that I am pretty – I am genuinely happy that it's looking hard for Zach Hyman to – like get the Reggie Leach record for most in the playoffs. By the way, he shares it with Yari Curry. Mm-hmm. Just did it in fewer games, but everyone knows it. Anyway, whatever. I don't want Zach Hyman to break that record. I don't want that to be another thing for the Leafs either way. Okay, I got three more would you rathers then. Two more baseball, one's hockey, but there's no more like direct, one is kind of a Jays would you rather. So should I stick with the baseball ones or should I move? Well, the other one's not a hockey one. It's just inspired by hockey. So maybe I'll do that one. This is actually kind of ties in with what we were talking about, so I'm going to do this one.
Okay.
So the Oilers lose game one in what I think is as bad of a way as you can lose, where your team plays incredibly well. Mm-hmm. You clearly deserve to win. There's basically zero areas where you can criticize the team, because even if you go criticize, say, Darnell Nurse and Cody Ceci, right? Mm-hmm. Go, man, you guys were both on the ice for the two goals against, and Nurse, you obviously fell asleep on the one play, and CeCe made a bad read.
Scored no goals. Doesn't matter.
Yeah, that's what I mean, is you didn't even score any goals, and so the mistakes they made, all right, well, you maybe would have got to overtime 0-0, and then would have got, like, it's just a crappy hypothetical to make. Would you rather your team, because both situations you lose, okay, so the net outcome is the same. Would you rather your team play well in a big loss or poorly in a big loss?
So... I mean, we've experienced the, like, play well.
I've experienced it at all, brother. I've seen a lot of losses, so I feel like I have a... I feel like I've been trained to know this, specifically, actually.
It's happened... The losing has happened so frequently that there is no person, or there's very few people that after the Game 7 loss to the Bruins are like, well, look at what they did with, like, all their guys hurt and, you know, like, Austin Matthews not at 100% in play.
No, some people did that, but overall, the entire body of work of the Leafs, but this is a Leafs-Jays. This is an everybody issue. Like, this is a, I would say, other than...
If you're going to lose, like, the outcome's already decided, so obviously, it's more entertaining to have the belief in the game that you're going to win, even though if you lose, but...
But afterwards, too, though, you can also sell yourself on the belief that you're good.
Yeah, you can, but I think the worst thing in sports is feeling like it's outside of your control. that like something, it's like you did all you could and it's like it still wasn't enough.
That's why I'm on, I'd rather the team play crappy.
I hate that.
Yeah.
Like whether it's myself playing golf and it's like, I hit a good shot and hit the branch. Like what? Uh-huh. No, I hate that. I'd rather just be crappy. It's like, well, obviously I lost. It's crappy.
Dude, I can tell you this for a fact. Like the worst loss in my life is, well, there's a few, but the Seahawks on the goal line as a Seahawks fan.
Mm-hmm.
Having to play over the one mistake rather than just had they, like, I don't think that the Super Bowl I won, Broncos fans stay up at night wondering what if. When they got
only from like the opening snap.
That's what I'm saying. Like I don't think that there's many Broncos fans that go, well, if the opening snap goes in his hands, he completes a pass. It's like, no, those two teams were in two different worlds.
Correct.
You were not in control of that game. That Seahawks defense was the best. I think one of the greatest of all time.
Mm-hmm.
You never had a chance. It was just over. You were nuts to even think it. Honestly, we had a good humbling one like that too. A better one to relate to is the LeBron game 5, Raptors tied, going to Cleveland, 2-2. Bismack Biyombo is the best game ever. You know, it was at 16, 18 rebounds. Slows down LeBron. We're thinking, Raptors, baby, go to Cleveland. And then LeBron literally, like, third play of the game is off the Kyrie off the backboard to LeBron, jams it home. Everyone, it's over. Everyone pack up your bags. Toronto, the franchise is finished. I'd rather have the beatdown loss. I'd rather have that than the hope, the sticking with it, to like, oh, we're right there. And then the misery of just feeling as though something was taken from you that sticks with you over the feeling of just, well, we lost, we suck, I hate this team, and then getting to crush them.
I like fairness. I like when things make sense and things are closer to fair. Like I like that there's some randomness in sport. It would suck if everything
like
was predetermined.
Gladwell, where he hates it when the underdogs win because he thinks that's not fair. Because the better team deserves to. You've never heard him do that? It's a great take. He hates underdogs. I actually really respect it.
Well, yeah, but it's the great thing about sports is that there is some level of randomness. And like, even if you do play your best, you can be undone. But like, I also hate that. Like, I want things to make sense. What makes sense is when a team plays crappy, has the inferior team, and loses.
Mm-hmm.
What is harder to accept as a human being that lives in the world is when like all the things you were told you had to do, you do them. And it's like one thing that's outside of your control. It's a little different when you get goalied because that was a clear advantage that the Panthers had in this series, right? So it's like, oh, shocker that they got a game. They won a game in which their goaltender outplayed Stuart Skinner, even though he did allow the first goal on the first shot of that game, even like bad. But I like it when things make more sense and are more fair. It's more fair when you get what you deserve.
I agree. It is more fair when you get what you deserve. I think that's actually, that's a double negative.
It's more fair.
You get what you deserve is like, that's implying fairness.
You know,
like it's more fair when you get what you deserve, I think is.
Yeah, it's, okay.
You know?
So I just need to say, I like when you get what you deserve?
Correct.
All right.
Yeah. Okay, the next one's not really a would you rather.
Okay.
It was, but I was trying to frame it as one and kind of flip it that way because of where we were going. Is being an umpire the easiest one in the main four sports? I say hardcore yes, not even close.
Is it the easiest one? Well, okay. Yeah.
Is it the easiest officiating job? So one, hockey is automatically out. You can't even discuss it. Like hockey is so by far, like you have to learn an actual skill, skating.
Yeah. But there's more, there's like penalties.
No, but also, no, dude. Yeah, the game is so fast. There's penalties on the fly. No, being an NHL official is unquestionably to me the hardest of the three.
It's the only sport.
Or the remaining
so
three.
Being an umpire is the only sport where there's no judgment calls. It's supposed to be black and white. Yeah. Every single
that's the number one argument for why it's easy.
But it's the easiest to say whether you've done a good job or not. Right? Like there's no defense to an umpire who made the wrong call.
Yeah.
And they have the backup now for most, like all the plays except for balls and strikes, essentially being, you know, you backed up by
reviewed.
Replay.
Yeah.
But yeah, there's nothing more embarrassing for any official, I would say, than the umpire who's just like has an atrocious game behind the plate, and I was looking to see.
I thought about it yesterday, by the way. This is inspired by the first couple innings of.
It's not the umpire scorecard from yesterday's game's not out yet, but I'm excited to see what that looks like. Is that like Yusei Kikuchi? I don't know how. If that were me, I literally would have been like, "All right, I'm out." Like I would just leave the game.
Yeah.
Like this, what? Why even participate? Like it's not in my control.
Here's the craziest part about that guy last night. Are you aware of what his standing is amongst umpires?
Probably pretty good.
Number one.
Yeah.
That's the best guy. And he was genuinely missing what? Like half a foot on the outside? Like he was missing every call down low. I'm trying not to overreact to this, but that was actually one of the stranger strike zones that I've seen in a while where I went, well, how'd you come up with this one, buddy? Like everything's like everything is low. But also everything outside is a strike, and then anything
is garbage.
It was just a weird one. It was everything inside was actually kind of being called pretty properly, pretty close.
Easiest, so
yeah, I think so. Here's why:
the ball is traveling at speeds that we've never seen before.
Buddy, this is that all of them all require some level of skill and training.
Mm-hmm.
Like, yes, of course the ball is flying fast, but here's why. Because I tweeted this yesterday and I had some people going like, it's actually so hard. And I think that's the biggest, dumbest misnomer. And I think baseball people especially are propagating this myth as though like MLB umpiring is the world's hardest thing. Like I say kind of facetiously that I could do umpiring. Here's what I can promise you. I would be a much better umpire percentage wise than I would be any other game. Mm. Football.
Yeah, you would fit in more as a major league umpire.
Correct.
Than you
would and that is why
NBA
it's the easiest. If you looked at
NHL,
you brought up
referee.
A couple things. One, there's no judgment calls. You don't have to like decide the way that you're going to impact the game. You're like, here's my strike zone.
Unless
this is what it is.
You say Kikuchi runs into a guy in foul territory, but yeah.
Yeah. Well, even then, that's not a judgment call.
No,
you're like, come
obvious.
On. Yeah, it's pretty clear.
We have breaking news here, guys. Do you want me to break it for you?
How big is it? It better be big.
Ben Nicholson-Smith is saying the Blue Jays have traded Kevin Biggio to the Dodgers for a minor league player.
No, that's not big.
Yeah, that's not big.
He was already DFA'd. Good.
Yeah, he's already DFA'd. Anyway, what was I saying?
I don't know. Umpires, officials, we're talking about officials. Oh, why you could fit in as a major league umpire.
Yeah, okay. One, strike zone black and white. Base is black and white. Step on it, don't step on it. You do have review on even the outs, right? Like some of the trickiest ones, like the bang-bang plays. It's like, yeah, you're wrong, but don't worry. Like, hey, this thing's going to help you out right away. Two, you don't have to be in shape at all. You don't have to move. Like an NBA official has to run up and down the floor. NFL, you got to move. You got to be in somewhat shape.
Definitely where the body mass index is.
You don't have to move. You just, hey, brother, stand.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, stand. And if anything, like, you're the only kind of physical fitness you can do is like the cashier argument where they're like, I was on my feet all day. Like that's an
umpire. Which does suck. As someone who has been a cashier.
Hey,
what I might still be in that profession if they gave me a stool.
Yeah. So
pretty good at giving people change.
So lastly, if you go across professional sports and you did it as a black and white exercise of who has the highest percentages of making the correct calls, it's definitely umpires. Mm-hmm. Like they're technically most likely to be doing the right job. Think about all the times where you do make a judgment call in hockey, but it's wrong one way or the other. Like if you actually broke it down, if you let the perfect AI, step in, if AI came in and was like, we're taking over all sports officiating. If you got your dream scenario, which is the eye in the sky that watches everything.
We have in the NFL now.
Think about all the holding calls that we would miss on the line. Think about all the pass interference calls that we would miss both ways.
Sure,
right?
By the letter of the law?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. So all of those infractions that don't happen within a game that are actually kind of correct, but also take like, you got to be... To be a better official of the other sports, it does require a little bit more art than being a baseball umpire. And so to me, those are the three main reasons. But it's like that lack of art to it. The only art that an umpire has is like how much of a jerk they decide to be, because some of them actually feel as though they are like the most important part of the game, which a lot of them do. But the umpire one is even more infuriating.
The counter to that would be that you could just be like, I'm an NHL referee. I have a very loose whistle. I don't call anything.
No, but like,
there are different styles because there are such different.
No, but if you did that, you would not be like, you're out. You're not making it. You know what I mean? Like in order to make it kind of thing.
Oh, you mean to get to the top of the profession?
Yeah, and like I'm saying, you take out numbers of people who are applying to these things. Like It's not a, if you did the one game, what would it be? Like, yeah, you could do an NBA game where you call all the fouls and then you're the worst ref ever. But I'm saying, like, over an aggregate to get there, the hardest ones, I would say that it goes, number one, hardest is hockey for the reasons that I outlined. But two is actually, to me anyways, actually basketball.
Yeah.
Because there's every play, you have to make a decision, essentially.
Yeah, of course.
Like, every possession, there's, you know, hundreds of possessions and you're like, holy crap, like this is so much.
No, block charge or how much contact, like the law of verticality, all that. No,
it's impossible. So I think those two are the hardest, and I think it's football.
NFL is like, I'd like to look at an NFL rule book. Like, how long is the NFL rule book?
It's a crazy long rule book, but also I just do think that it is a harder one from basically the, because I'm judging like home plate umpire versus like the head official in a football game. Mm-hmm. I'm taking that as a harder job than umpires. There's just more that you have to do. You gotta, like, there's just more at play.
Yeah, and there's crew chiefs in baseball, but the head official, it's like, you can like overrule people's calls. Yeah, you gotta bring everybody together. You have to be a real leader on the field, right?
Anyways, I just want to dismantle this myth that like being an MLB umpire is like the world's hardest job.
But I think when people say that, at least when I've said it, that it's like, it's literally like hard to watch a baseball.
No, I think that it's genuinely,
when it's traveling 100 miles an hour and moving, like, I don't know how you ever hit it. Like, you can't even see it.
Yeah, that's the thing, is I think that scientifically you can't see it.
Yeah, exactly.
But you can see where the ball ends up, and so for the most part, you're like, that's pretty close, you know?
Yeah, like, it's like, ooh, Alejandro Kirk, like, he's got it in the middle of the zone. Like, yeah, he must have been close to there, right?
Yeah, it's got to be close. Strike! Easy. Easy peasy, baby.
It's also the easiest, though, to just blow your career up, right? Where, yeah.
How? Angel Hernandez was literally the worst at it forever.
But he wasn't, though. That's the thing. Like, he was bad, but he wasn't the worst. We know this, right?
Who's the worst?
Haven't you read any of the think pieces around Angel Hernandez that he was viewed
think
as?
Piece, hey, guess what? Here's what I absolutely do not need. Think piece on Angel Hernandez.
No, but I thought about it.
I guess what? I thought about it before. I drew my own conclusions on this one.
But we can make official pronouncements because we actually have we know what a ball and we know what a strike is. Yeah, so okay, we can say like whether he's good or not. And he wasn't good.
Pronouncements. Yes, all right. Yeah, I got it. Yeah, he wasn't good.
He wasn't good. He wasn't the worst, though. Yeah. There is a guy.
Like I said, I just want to know who the guy is.
Well, exactly. It's like the guy that finished
Curly
dead
Jenkins.
Last in his like, in his medical school. It's like, what do we call that guy? Doctor.
Doctor Death.
Yeah.
That's who that is. Yeah. Did you listen to that podcast?
Yeah, I sure did. I didn't watch the, Joshua Jones?
No, Jackson.
Jackson, that's his name.
He's Canadian. You got to get that one right.
Sorry.
And he was on Dawson's Creek.
Mm-hmm. Mighty Ducks.
Yeah, exactly.
First one
like
you go
you're
to?
A Canadian, you can't get that wrong.
He's
it's like
been
the Canadian actor who is in your,
for a bit.
Yeah, yeah,
okay.
Yeah, sure. Anyway,
what's he done lately?
Dr. Death. What do you mean? You just said you did it.
He's, made for TV.
He's Dr. That was. I don't think that was made for TV. I think that was like actually a little bit of a budget one. Okay, my last. Would you rather? Let's do it on the other side of the break. All right, quick break, and we'll come back, and I'll give you my last one.
Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
At least now we have the name of the minor leaguer, though, from Jeff Passan.
Oh, yeah?
Braden Fisher is heading back to the Blue Jays for Kevin Biggio.
I gotta say, he has a very baseball name. Like, I'm sold on the name.
He has split his time between AA and AAA this season as a 5.68 ERA and 30 strikeouts and 15 walks in 19 innings with a fastball that sits to the low to mid-90s. So, yeah, what you would expect to get back for Kevin Biggio.
Yeah, who's been DFA'd.
Yeah. So I want to talk to you a little bit about the MLB player poll.
Okay.
And I'm not going to frame it as a would you rather. I lied. I'm not paying off the tease. Because my would you rather, the way I was going to do it in a dumb guy way, was would you rather be completely irrelevant or somewhat hated? But obviously you'd rather be just irrelevant and hated as a front office or as a baseball team.
Player.
But,
or even as a player.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, so the MLB player poll is out. I asked you to read it.
Mm-hmm. I've read it before asked me to read it.
Yeah, I know you did. Yeah, you're a big baseball guy. Yeah. You say things like, it's hard to be an umpire. You get it. You're on top of it. You actually knew, the way that you can say what a baseball guy is, you knew exactly how many home runs off the top of your head.
Now I missed by one.
I said what I was going to say. Vladdy's probably to one. But anyways, what was your favorite thing from the MLB player poll? Because I have a few things. I want to rip through this.
Okay. My favorite thing or, like, most interesting thing?
Okay, both. Well, we'll do both. But your favorite thing first, because we'll do the funny first and then the most interesting thing second.
Okay. My favorite thing, I guess, would be that analytics, like, the vast majority of players think analytics have helped their careers.
I didn't make that didn't.
I don't know. Away. To me, I would have thought that there'd be too much, like, there'd be paralysis by analysis, that too many guys that just wish, you know, they had their sports fan brain on, that, like, wish we could go back to the before times. And there's just too much information. I know too much. I'm too cerebral about this. I wish it was just back to my own athleticism and that I could just overcome instead of knowing exactly how I'm failing.
Here's the thing, though. This is also a sign of the times, right? That players, you know, like the 80s babies are out and the 90s babies and 2000s babies now in sports. Mm-hmm. And I think that there's far more players in professional sports now that have had this in, like, even younger training, right? Mm-hmm. So they are just accustomed to it. Whereas I think what you're talking about is more of a sign of our times, which is you would have come up in sports, played the sports, yeah, and then had to learn those things. You're like, yo, man, I already made it here without this.
Yeah.
You know? So it made a little bit more sense to me that one was there. My favorite thing was just simply that Jazz Chisholm got rated the most overrated player, because I've never had a real Jazz Chisholm opinion. No. And somehow he got more overrated than Anthony Rendon, who, like, got over $100 million to hate playing baseball. And it was, like, the impetus for one of the other questions in the survey. And now I will always think of Jazz Chisholm going, like, so overrated. Like, what a stray for you to catch in the middle of your season.
But he only catches it because he was on the cover of MLB The Show, right?
Sure, but it doesn't matter. Like, the fact that you caught that, who's thinking about Jazz Chisholm?
Well, now everybody, because we just said
that's what I'm saying.
Times.
If you're a baseball fan,
well, he plays for an irrelevant franchise.
That's it. It's like he's irrelevant. I just think of, I'm like, Jets is, I don't know, he's pretty good, I guess.
Does it bode in one way for the future of Vladimir Guerrero Jr. showing up on this poll?
Because he's loved by the baseball guys. So
okay, but he was on the cover of the show. It's like one thing to be beloved, and it's like, okay, he wasn't quite what he was, but he's still a good player. And it's quite another to, like, okay, he's on the cover of MLB The Show. He's one of the faces of this sport.
Yeah.
And he's headed towards his walk year. And, like, he put up back-to-back seasons where he's, like, barely above average offensive player.
I don't think guys think he's overrated. I think that guys just, you know.
But when you end up on the cover of MLB The Show, there's no other reason for Jazz Chisholm to be involved in this conversation other than him being on the face of the video game.
I didn't even know that. So I just thought it was hilarious.
You didn't read it?
No, I didn't know that going in.
Oh,
to the article. Like, I was not aware of who was on the cover of MLB The Show. Like, I don't play video games anymore.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he was
I'm
on
an adult.
Yeah. Don't be making fun of people who play video games as an adult. Like, not every day, but, like, come on. Mm. Like, I like to dabble.
I see you put the headset on.
No. Like, I play sports video games.
I don't look at you the same way ever again.
Yeah. No, I agree.
You put the headset on and I'm like, okay.
No, I don't do that. I will play some Fortnite with my 6-year-old.
Yeah, you got kids, it's different.
Yeah.
It's for kids. You're participating in their activity.
MLB The Show?
It's like if someone watches, what's a kid's show?
Bluey?
Yeah, sure. I don't know any of the shows. You're like, I watch Bluey with my kids. I'm not like, this guy likes Bluey more than Sopranos.
Okay, you know? say you're like me, and on occasion we'll play an entire 9-inning baseball game of a 162-game season on MLB The Show, and then get angry when your children come down the stairs and bother you.
No, whatever. I actually don't really care about people who play video games. I think it's totally fine. When you do, I just think that there's very few looks to me that I think would, if you're thinking about, like, the ultimate looks that turn off members of the opposite sex, putting on the video game headset has to be in the, like, top tier.
I generally
agree with you.
It's like
socks with sandals.
I generally agree with you, but I'm now remembering a video I just recently saw on Twitter of some army vet playing, like, I don't know, what is it?
The context of that totally changes everything. You're like,
where he's like sniping people. He's having a great time with the headset on, like going back to his army days.
Yeah, because anyway.
That guy's cool.
Yeah, you think I'm going to go against the troops? Is this your, you think you're like, what if it's, yeah. You're like,
I thought I had you in a box.
Like, yeah, no, I'm with the troops. I stand with the troops. They want to play video games, blow off some steam? Hell yeah, go at it. You look amazing in that headset. Anyways, back to the thing. Okay, so what was your most interesting then?
Okay, it was that if you take the salaries out of it, you take the rosters out of it, mm-hmm. the team most players want to play for is the Atlanta Braves, which is, okay, there's some guys, proximity, but okay. Georgia is not the number one producer of Major League Baseball players.
It should also be noted that it was 12, like 13%, less than 13%.
Sure,
but yeah,
but
all is split, yeah.
No, but I don't think of, okay, I think of the Braves as a very successful franchise, but I assumed when we take rosters out of it, that means like the potential to win out of it. Like, where would you play? And I think of Atlanta, okay, there's obviously tons of culture there, but yeah, I don't think of, man, of how many cities would you have to get through before you got to Atlanta as a place you would want to travel to in the United States if you'd never been anywhere in the United States? Like, it would be not in the top 10. Why is it the number one place these players would prefer to play?
I wouldn't say that, especially for guys with money, that it wouldn't necessarily be in the top 10. I would just,
okay, so
I would
where?
Just put that.
Not in the top five?
Yeah, no, but yeah, but Atlanta's a pretty popular city, especially amongst the rich. I thought that it was kind of interesting out of that list that every team other than Baltimore and the division received votes. That, like, obviously not the Jays, but mm-hmm. it's like just speaking to the slight competitive disadvantage that they have, that, yeah, the Jays, like, we do think about the taxes, right? That's something that we do bring up, and this was a
that
without
was supposed
the taxes.
To be without the taxes, yeah.
That's my point.
Yeah,
is
you
that,
would have thought, like, if people were just looking at Toronto as a beautiful city,
yeah,
and, like, you take
hey,
all the rest
take away the taxes, and no one voted for Toronto.
Yeah.
So just a, like, again.
Gut punch. Maybe it's not just the
but
taxes.
But the Tampa Bay Rays already don't have the taxes, so for them to receive votes in the question of to take away the taxes, like, those are the number one appeals to those cities, right? Like Marlins and, anyway, whatever. I thought it was kind of tough that Minnesota received a vote. Like, not a, but some. Like, Toronto didn't get any, but Minnesota?
Yeah.
It's just a good reminder of how irrelevant we are to the vast majority of these players. And I was kind of workshopping this the other day. I was actually on a different podcast, and I was thinking about this, how we are truly the weirdest market in professional sports, because we are the epicenter of everything in the country here in Toronto, right? So everything in the rest of the country, we move the needle. Like, we have the professional sports teams. We're the big daddy, right? And in hockey, we're the, I'm sorry to Montreal, I'm sorry to Vancouver. This is the mecca of it. Like, there are far more Leaf fans. The Leafs content, there's a reason why there's a billion Leaf shows and way more Leafs content. It's not because there's some conspiracy or agenda against your teams. It's that there's a general interest that drives those other ones that is far greater than what it does for Edmonton. Mm-hmm. So here you have this, like, superiority complex for you within the country, but then the most inferiority complex because you are also the only place that has the professional sports teams in your own country and going across the border with basketball and baseball. So you go to those two places and people are like, sorry, who are you? Yeah. And we're like, we're one of the five biggest markets in North America. And they're like, yeah, sorry, we don't think about you at all.
Yeah.
But we're the big daddy of Canada. They're like, sorry. So we both at the same time have superiority and inferiority complexes that we deal with at the same time that are in constant clash with one another, and then a very lot, no success, really. Like, real no meaningful history of success in any of the sporting leagues. Like, that's the only way to really force people to look, right, is you have a 2015 Blue Jays where you go, hey, this is undeniable. Mm-hmm. And then the Raptors, they have their 2019 run. That's part of what hurts so badly is that people go, you don't get respect for that title in a way that I think other organizations would. It gets kind of thrown out as a one-off weirdo title, Kawhi not re-signing, and yeah, that's it. It's like the rest of the time, you're kind of irrelevant.
Yeah, I mean, maybe the tide starts shifting in sports where we have more participation, right? Like the Shea Gilgeous-Alexander, Jamal Murray's one day, you know, when they are going to make their own free agent decisions.
Even then, when they do it, I don't think it's going to be on ESPN, right? Like, they're not going to go, like, Northern Surge, and I don't even think that's going to happen anyways. Okay, yeah, is it good, though, that the Jays didn't get plastered in the what organizations have bad reputations? Because, again, they didn't have good reputations or sign, so they were completely ignored. My question is, do you think most players even remember that the Blue Jays exist in this poll?
No. No, I think the most players are Blue Jays agnostic.
They got no votes in any of the categories.
They're not polarized.
Yeah.
They're out there doing their thing. What are they're still playing baseball out there? Talk to any national baseball writer and shout, it's maybe the most difficult sport to cover from a national perspective because everybody's playing every day.
Listen, before Paul Skeens, I wasn't thinking about the Pirates ever, right? Like, so I understand.
Have like the same knowledge a national NFL person might have where it's like, I've seen every game and know every storyline surrounding every game.
Baseball is so hyper-local. Nobody knows anybody but their own team. Even when you have national guys on who are the biggest names, they don't know. How could they ever? It's impossible.
It's like we're finally maybe getting to a spot after a full year of Vladimir Guerrero Jr. being underwhelming. Where
people are finally starting to get that he's not like the king of Toronto.
It's like Juan Soto is going to get his $600 million, but then after him, it'll be Vladimir Guerrero Jr. It's like, no. Yeah. Like, pay attention to what's happened throughout the course of his entire career outside of 2021. And that's, to your point, like, you can break through if you have an incredible season like he had in 2021. And the Blue Jays just missing the playoffs by a single game. They were a big story that year as one of the most dangerous teams that they got into the playoffs. But otherwise, unless you're in that local market, outside of the sport of hockey, you're just... You're like the Minnesota Twins. Honestly, we're Minnesota.
No, we're not even, though. That's the thing. Minnesota got votes. Players would rather play in Minnesota.
That probably has something to do with more people being from Minnesota than, or the one guy who got the
vote. It's not one, though. This is the whole thing, is that it was like, what? What was the participation rate of this poll?
I don't know. It wasn't super high, though.
No, it was. It was over 60%. And so it was over 60% of Major League Baseball players participated in this. So Minnesota clocking in over 2% is more than... That's not just like one vote. That's a bunch. It's a bunch of guys that said, Minnesota, brother. No.
Tampa or Minnesota or Seattle. San Francisco. San Francisco being lumped in with Tampa, Seattle...
Seattle's a beautiful city.
Yeah, okay. I've never been to Seattle.
No,
okay.
Seattle's incredible.
San Francisco and Seattle being lumped into Tampa and Minnesota.
The only thing with Seattle is, again, it's just, you're right. San Francisco has taken a big PR hit over the last, decade.
Yeah,
that's true. It used to be a different place.
Yeah.
Seattle, though, very similar in terms of the Portland, same thing, where it's just like you go and you're like, whoa, this is, But Seattle doesn't have the weather, the climate. It's just like, no. It's a great city. It's an awesome city. But I wouldn't. Yeah, like if I was a professional athlete, I'd be thinking about stuff like, where can I have beaches, nightlife, get an awesome house? Where can I play golf? I guess baseball players are not as important, but either way, it's like,
very important.
Where's my wife going to, be the happiest?
You didn't wonder how the Blue Jays ended up with a ball retriever to get Vladimir Guerrero Jr.'s bat at a baseball game? I think golf is pretty important to either the Blue Jays or the Milwaukee Brewers. Somebody had a ball retriever in the clubhouse.
Please subscribe to this podcast. Leave 5 stars. Do those things. Share it. Follow me on Twitter and Instagram at JD Bunkus. Reach out anytime, especially if you got thoughts on today's show. Before we go, hold on. I got to do a read here. And also, this contest is truly awesome. And this is one where I would have participated in it. So that's my best sell for this one is. Rogers has announced an exciting new national contest. Bring Stanley home to send Rogers customers and hockey fans from across Canada to the Stanley Cup final in Edmonton. Rogers customers have the chance to win 10 VIP trips for two to attend Game 4 in Edmonton on this Saturday, June 15th. Prize also includes travel and accommodations plus premium viewing at Game Day concert featuring Shania Twain outside Rogers Place. So to enter this contest, go visit rogers.com/Stanley Cup to enter for your chance to win and for more details. We actually did get just now breaking news of some pretty significant consequence. Hall of Famer Jerry West has passed away this morning at 86, according to Chris Haynes. Jerry West, obviously the logo, my favorite sports biography I read. It's moving. It's incredibly transparent. It's called West by West. I would highly recommend any sports fan read it. It's about Jerry West and his tortured life. It goes from his childhood, kind of what went into building a man who was one of the best players in basketball, one of the most tortured players in basketball, but also one of the most influential in terms of team building as well. The guy that, saw Kobe Bryant. Saw Kobe Bryant as Kobe Bryant before anybody else. Anyways, rest in peace, Jerry West, an all-time great. We'll see you tomorrow.